Welcome to From Dusk Till F1. My name is Romain and I am joined by my co-host Henry. Henry and I started this podcast together because of our shared passion for anything Formula 1. Our passion for F1 actually started 30 years ago when we were just kids. We have attended several Grand Prix and winter testings together, and we were sometimes fortunate to talk to pilots and team principals to get their point of views on several topics. Growing from this experience, we decided to share our passion and thoughts with other F1 fans, and we hope that you will follow along.
Hi, Romain. Pleasure to be here.
How are you today?
Great. Always excited to talk about Formula 1.
Yes, very nice to have you back. Episode 3 today. And we're going to talk about some of the confirmed drivers in Formula 1 for 2020. I believe we're going to be starting with Aston Martin and Sebastian Vettel.
Exactly, Romain. Sebastian Vettel, I think that's an extremely good signing for Aston Martin. He's a very experienced driver, obviously 4-time world champion. He's going to be in an environment that should be much better for him at Aston, and new owners also. So I don't know what you think about it.
We haven't seen much from Vettel in the last 3-4 years when he was driving for Ferrari. I don't think we saw the Vettel that we wanted to see, or at least the Vettel that we saw at Red Bull when he won 4 years in a row. If I look back a little bit in history, obviously there's the four glorious years for Vettel where he won everything at Red Bull. Everything was going well, but that was before the new era, before the hybrid era. We know that Vettel really found it difficult to adapt to those new cars. By the way, he got beaten by his teammate Ricciardo in his last year at Red Bull, which I believe was 2014.
True, with the new cars.
Yeah. With the new cars, exactly. Then he moved in 2015 to Ferrari. Some highs and lows. Couple of lows maybe I want to note is 2017 with that crash in Singapore, which essentially killed the championship. Then we have 2018 Hockenheim. Also, big mistake from Vettel when he was high hopes for him and Ferrari. Obviously, 2019, the season was much better for Ferrari, but they were just not there. It was just not good enough. So Vettel, in my opinion, was just not delivering enough. Qualifying was not good enough. Too many mistakes during the race. From what I heard, Vettel was just always excuses, you know, the car this, the car that. I made mistakes here, I made mistakes there.
He always had excuses. And
it's not the Vettel I've seen at Red Bull, honestly. So now the question is, what is he going to do at Aston Martin? You know, is he going to be better? Is he going to be worse? Some people say a new team will give him, you know, high hopes and he will be back to his old self.
Yeah, I think with the pressure that he will not have with Aston Martin, I think he has a chance of maybe coming back to his glory days. And we saw a little bit of class, or flashes of class, I should say, when he was driving for Ferrari. But overall, you're right, he made a few mistakes that were very costly for the team. So the whole question is, will he be able to handle pressure at Aston Martin this year? The good news for him is that he will have a pilot with him that should be easier to handle than Charles Leclerc, since, as we all know, with Aston Martin, Vettel will drive with Lance Stroll. That should be a little bit easier to handle for him, let's hope.
Yeah, he will probably beat his teammate at Aston Martin. My opinion is that he's better than Stroll. I don't think that's difficult to assume that. Vettel doesn't have the consistency it takes to be one of those great pilots like Hamilton or like Verstappen, who consistently deliver no matter what happens. And Vettel, you know, either he's at the forefront and he has an easy car to drive and everything's going well and he will deliver. I mean, I've heard that so many times. Oh, yes, but when everything goes right, when Vettel has the car, when Vettel has the team, when Vettel has everything, he delivers. But if I give you the car and the team and everything, most people will deliver, or most drivers will deliver. So I don't know. Vettel, not high in my books, as you can hear. Maybe Aston Martin will bring him that little, you know, the less pressure you were mentioning before, the pressure element. Maybe if he has less pressure, maybe he could deliver better.
How easy will the car be to drive? If the Aston Martin is easy to drive, like it seems to be the case this year, the racing point seems to be fairly easy to handle. I mean, as we saw at the beginning of the season, more than half of the season, Lance Stroll was doing incredible results, even in qualifying and in the races too. So obviously it's a much easier car to drive than the Ferrari. And I think that will help Vettel a lot. So we will see what he does.
Aston Martin, they will have to develop the car that they copied from last year. And that's the key for Aston Martin. Will they be able to develop the car?
So far,
because copying is one thing, developing is another. So they have a good base, definitely. It's an old Mercedes from 2019 or 2018.
Exactly, the W10, yeah.
Yeah, but then will they be able to develop that car to give something workable for Vettel next year?
So far, it looks like they did a pretty incredible job at developing the car. And according to Perez that drove the car this weekend in Italy, it seems that the car is much faster and easier to handle. So as we know, easier car to handle and a faster car will be a very good thing for Vettel. So we'll see if he can handle the pressure at Aston Martin, which will be for sure much easier to handle than Ferrari, because we all know that the pressure at Ferrari is very hard to handle. Just a side note, but only Alonso was able to handle that pressure, and maybe Raikkonen at the beginning when he was world champion in 2007.
If we look at statistics between Leclerc and Vettel in 2020, Vettel is 14th in the championship, yeah. Leclerc is 5th. Vettel, his best race finish is 6th compared to Leclerc 2nd. Vettel has 18 points, Leclerc has 85.
Yeah, so no comparison. Really.
No comparison. The average finish position for Vettel is 10th, whereas it's 6th for Charles Leclerc. And in terms of qualifying, the qualifying form from Vettel compared to Leclerc it's very clear. Leclerc only got beaten by Vettel twice this year, whereas and essentially Leclerc average grid position is 8th versus 12th for Vettel. So, I mean, data definitely shows how Vettel is getting beaten by Leclerc, who is a two-year junior driver in Formula 1 versus this four-time world champion.
True, and this confirms what you're saying, Romain, that Vettel cannot adapt to these new cars. And obviously, Charles Leclerc is very good at driving like a very difficult car. Well, difficult with the rear end, apparently, of the Ferrari. That's much tougher to handle, and Charles Leclerc already confirmed that this year a few times, but obviously he can handle that change and he can drive this car very fast. Vettel cannot do that at all.
My guess is Vettel will not. I don't see sparks coming out of that marriage between Aston Martin and Vettel. I think it's probably very good for marketing purposes, for the announcement purposes, for Aston Martin to start off their career in Formula One as a team with a supposedly high profile like Vettel. But I really doubt that Vettel will deliver. He will beat Stroll. That's not complicated. But I don't think we'll see incredible results from him next year. That's my... We'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. That's at least my position.
For once, I will completely disagree with you. He's a four-time world champion. He didn't lose his speed all of a sudden. He was in a toxic environment at Ferrari. It's going to be much easier for him at Aston Martin. He will... you're right. He will beat Lance Stroll, probably. Or I hope for Vettel at least. And he will actually do a few good results because the car is very easy to drive compared to the Ferrari this year. So
let's not forget, Stroll has been with the team for several years. So he knows the workings. He's stabilizing in the team. Sure. Whereas Vettel just arrived, he has to get his act together. So we may be surprised. Maybe Stroll suddenly next year has some good form and... Hey, you know what? He can beat Vettel.
But it will be exciting lineup for sure. We'll see who's really good.
So there you have for, I think, Vettel, two different opinions. And we'll see. Time will tell what happens. Anyway, the history definitely is not in favor of Vettel. But again, never say never. And next year may be completely different. What about Renault?
Yes, Renault is going to be exciting to see Alonso back. I mean, I think that there's no doubt about how good he is. Alonso, some people don't like him, but fact is he's very fast and he doesn't make mistakes. Quite completely different than Vettel. So Alonso has the consistency. He's a very fast qualifier. He's already testing the Renault of this year. So obviously he will have a little advantage and he's highly motivated.
Next up is Renault. And Alonso joining Renault. Exciting prospect. Alonso, world champion with Renault 2005, 2006, getting back with the team. What do you make of that?
Yeah, Alonso is an extremely good driver that there's no point about. He doesn't make mistakes, especially compared to Vettel, that cannot handle pressure. Alonso doesn't make mistakes, really. I can't even think about one mistake he did recently. So he's going to be very fast. He's going to be very consistent. He's highly motivated. And he's going to obviously have a pretty good car. I mean, the Renault this year seems to be very fast on most racetracks. And it's not too hard to drive. Much easier than the last year's car, according to Ricardo. It's for sure an exciting comeback. We should see some stunning results from Alonso.
Alonso is completely different from Vettel. If you look at the history, he did an incredible run at McLaren. I mean, yeah. I've never seen someone who was able to deliver so much with such a slow car.
Yeah,
I mean, prone to so many technical issues, especially on the engine side. One can argue the chassis was not that good at that time.
Yeah, true.
Incredible to see all these points that he was able to tally whilst he was at McLaren. He was always pushing, always motivated, even though he was complaining a lot. And I know this is one side of Alonso that is a bit criticized. He complains a lot, but incredible what he was able to deliver. We don't see that with Vettel, for example. I really believe that it was a smart move from Renault and a bit bull to get Alonso, even though it was probably not cheap. But I think that Alonso will definitely help, even though if results are not there yet, he will develop the car.
No, no doubt.
For sure, and he will push it to its limits, and I think they will do some good results. This season, we've got already the second podium from Ricciardo, which was unthinkable last year from Renault, for example. They've gone a long way.
That's a good thing for Renault, and Abit Bull, the team principal, had to find a replacement for Ricciardo, and he needed a top driver. And Alonso is definitely one of these drivers that can make a big difference. But developing the car will be a key aspect for Renault, and it's a very good move.
He was in IndyCar in 2019. He had his fun 1 year off Formula One. He left 2018 saying he wouldn't come back, and now he's back with Renault and more motivated than ever. I heard his interview online. He seemed to be really pumped. He wanted to drive the car, try the car. He's at every race now. I'm really excited to see Alonso at Renault, especially now that we have Renault is suddenly becoming a team that can deliver some results on track. It will be interesting to see if Ferrari is upping the game next year. Because if they don't, it will leave it open for Renault to maybe look at taking that fourth or even third place in the constructor. Because Mercedes, we know, will be there. Red Bull will be there. And that's third place that's up for grabs.
Yes, that's true. And I think Alonso would be very happy to upset Ferrari, because let's face it, he left Ferrari, but he was doing very well there, and he had to leave the team, and I don't think he was very pumped about this. So if he can find a way to hurt Ferrari a little bit.
What do you think of Alonso and Abit Bull? Do you think these two will get along? Because now it's the honeymoon phase, everything's great.
Sure.
When Alonso will start complaining about the engine not working, or any, you know, when he will start Alonso being Alonso, and we know Abit Bull is a bit of a, you know, he's not French for nothing.
No,
and I will be really,
it's
I can't
true.
Wait to see how these two will get along.
That will be incredible for sure. A very good story for next year to see how this will end up and how it will evolve. And for sure, Alonso is not easy to handle. And Abit Bull is not easy to handle either. So will they get along? That will be very exciting to see Alonso at Renault.
Let's move on to Ferrari. Carlos Sainz moving to Ferrari, currently with Norris. So just a couple of stats maybe to look at that are interesting between Carlos Sainz and Norris. Carlos Sainz is 8th compared to Norris 7th. Pretty close in terms of championship standing currently. Best race result for Sainz is 2nd and 3rd for Norris. Sainz has 65 points, Norris 69. The average finish position for Norris is 8th, 7th for Carlos, and average grid position is 8th for Norris and 7th for Carlos. So very close stats between those two drivers. I think they deliver. It's a bit of a shame, even though they get a new driver back. So Sainz at Ferrari. I'm very excited to see Sainz at Ferrari. I think he will deliver. I think we'll see someone consistent with the car. And I'm really glad to see that the challenge Sainz, Leclerc at Ferrari, these two will really push each other. And I think it's good for the team. I think that's what we were missing a lot with Vettel and Raikkonen, when there were those two older guys in the team. It was missing also between Leclerc and Vettel. And I think Leclerc really needs someone who can match him up and push him.
Sainz is one of those consistent drivers. He doesn't make any mistakes. He's really comparable to Alonso, again, another Spanish driver. He's consistent, he doesn't make mistakes, and he's not so fast in quali, that's for sure. So Leclerc will probably beat him next year in quali, but I think the strong point about Sainz is the race. During the race, he always makes very good results, and he's very good with the tires. It will be, as soon as he's used to the car, it's going to be very interesting to see him against Leclerc.
Sainz is one of those drivers who is very mature as well. We can see in the way he handles himself, he handles the pressure. He's consistent, he's fast.
He was in Red Bull program. He started in the Red Bull program, and he's been driving for Toro Rosso at the beginning. There he went to Renault, he went to McLaren. So obviously he's been driving a lot of different cars, and he always was able to adapt to the completely different cars, and he was always very fast.
So what do you think, will Sainz beat Leclerc next year?
Everybody says that they hired him to be a second driver, but I highly doubt that Sainz wants to be the second driver. He's going to want to do the best.
He's older than Leclerc and more experienced.
Exactly. I think he wants to be world champion too, so every time he can beat Leclerc, he will do it for sure. So apparently he didn't sign the contract for second driver. He signed a normal contract. There will be team orders for sure next year, but we will see how fast he is.
We can see the way he handles himself with Norris this year. They're very close, those two, but there's never been any clash. There's never been any issues. They haven't crashed into each other. Yeah, so I think this new generation of drivers, what is very interesting is that they're very respectful of each other. They used to race each other. It's completely different to the older generation that we were used to, the Hamiltons, Raikkonen, Vettel, even back in the days with Schumacher was always about, pushing your opponents off the road. And this new generation is, I feel they very respectful of each other.
True, and this should be a very good thing for Binotto, because he's going to have two drivers that are much easier to handle. And I think that's also important for team principle. If you look at Toto Wolff, he hired Bottas and he re-signed Bottas for next year also for this reason, because they get along very well, Bottas and Hamilton at Mercedes. They don't crash into each other. That's a very good point, and that makes the team principal job much easier, and he can concentrate on the important things, and I think that's a great news for Ferrari and Binotto.
Yeah, definitely Ferrari will take a page off of Mercedes' book to ensure they administer their two drivers properly, give them clear guidelines. Mercedes does that extremely well. Toto Wolff definitely knows how to handle his drivers, give them clear guidelines without team orders per se.
Yeah, personally.
Because team orders are really not good. They're demotivating at best and can create issues like, drivers crashing into each other in worst case scenarios. So if you're clear with both drivers, like Toto did with Hamilton and Bottas, if Binotto is clear with those two drivers as to what are the rules of engagement, I think it can go really, really well. But we haven't seen that at Ferrari yet.
Oh, exactly.
And I mean, again, those crashes we were mentioning at the beginning of the podcast, Vettel crashing into Raikkonen in Singapore, is a perfect example of that. Everything was going smoothly. I think Ferrari failed in that regard to take those two drivers and say, guys, we're in a position where we can win that championship. You guys are close to each other. This is how we're going to handle things. And I think I hope they've learned from that and that they will be able to build on that in handling Sainz and Leclerc. Otherwise, we'll end up having two hotshots at Ferrari, especially if they become more, if they have a faster car next year, and that just won't work. So they really need to work this out.
No, exactly. And I think that's one reason why Binotto did the right thing in hiring a new driver, and especially Carlos Sainz, which wants to have good results, and he's going to want to fight with Leclerc, but they shouldn't get dirty. They will respect each other, and it will work. And it will be less work for Binotto, like we said before. This should be a great thing for Ferrari. They can focus on the important part, which is the car.
They will do, because currently it's the number one issue. They need to find an engine. I don't know what is their capacity. That's another topic, I guess. But they're getting there. They're getting faster.
Good thing for Formula One. I agree. They're finally able to develop their car and making it faster. Not easier to drive, but Leclerc can handle the car much better. And the engine seems a little bit better. And aero of the car too. So that's a good thing. We're excited to see Ferrari getting better.
McLaren. Ocon versus Ricciardo. A couple of stats before we talk about specifically Daniel. Currently, Daniel Ricciardo is fourth. Esteban Ocon is 12th. Best race result for Daniel Ricciardo is third, twice. Hamilton tasted his shoe the other day.
True.
I don't know if he's very happy about it, but he had to do it. I don't think any driver wants to be on the podium with Daniel Ricciardo at the moment, but that's a side discussion.
Talking about this, it's funny because Hamilton last year said, there's no way I will ever taste
it. Right, I remember that.
Ricciardo's shoes, and this year he changed his mind and he actually asked Ricciardo to taste the shoes.
So, yeah.
Well, talking about...
well, now that he tasted it, I don't know if he's going to do it the second time.
He might stop that.
But anyway... Is there going to be a second time with the, or third time, sorry, where Ricciardo is going to be on the podium with Hamilton this year? We'll see.
But for sure, a very, very good driver. And talking about world champion material, Ricciardo is up there. He's the type of drivers that can make a big difference. And he's, of course, much older than Verstappen, but he definitely has it. He has what it takes to be a world champion, I believe. And it's going to be exciting to see him in a new environment. And obviously, a very fast car. The McLaren this year is good. They adapt to the new engine, the new Mercedes engine. They should. It should be a very, very fast car. And we cannot wait for next year to see what he can make.
Almost 95 points for Ricciardo this year already versus 40 for Esteban Ocon. Clearly outpacing his teammate there. Average finish position for Daniel Ricciardo is 6th. Incredible for Renault. 6th average finish position versus 8th for Ocon. Qualifying grid position for Daniel, an average of 7th place versus 10th for Ocon. So not only is Ricciardo really this year beating Ocon, which was to be expected. Obviously, Ocon just came back and needs experience. He's still a rookie. But he's doing it with a Renault, which is something nobody would have expected last year.
No, especially now how good the car is. And clearly, Ricciardo is showing his pace at Renault. And now there's two possibilities. Either Ocon is not as fast as everybody said, or it's just Ricciardo that's that great. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. There's no doubt about the speed of Ricciardo. We saw a few years ago when he was fighting against Verstappen. It's one of the only pilots that was able to beat Verstappen, not only in qualifying sometimes, but also in the race. It's one of these great pilots, so it's going to be extremely exciting to see him with a new engine, also the Mercedes engine. It's going to be great to see him at McLaren.
I hope Ricciardo really gets a competitive car. He deserves, in my opinion, he's one of these top drivers. And it's such a shame that he's world champion material, like you would say. It's really a shame that he's not in the car that can actually give him that. I would love to see Ricciardo at Mercedes.
That would be great.
You know, this guy would deliver. So he would deliver, and on top of that, he would bring smiles and, you know...
positive attitude.
Because Hamilton is great, I'm not saying, but he's not the funniest person ever. Whereas Ricciardo, you know, he's good, but...
Yeah, he will bring joy to the team.
Exactly.
On that note, Bottas clearly is bringing this to Mercedes, a lot of sort of happiness in a way, so he's motivating the troops, so that's a good thing. But obviously Ricciardo would have been the best, but Ricciardo also, let's not forget, if you hire him at Mercedes, he will be pushing Hamilton a lot. If you hire him at Ferrari, he will be pushing Leclerc maybe too much.
And that's what
they don't want, I think, both Toto Wolff and Binotto, they don't want this in the team. They want a great environment.
If he's hired, he has to be number one.
I fully agree, which they can't do neither of these two teams. So it's better if he's number one at McLaren Mercedes.
So can't wait to see Ricciardo. Hopefully McLaren with their new engine next year is a bit even more performant than they are currently. But really very encouraging results so far.
Can't wait for 2021.
To conclude our podcast, maybe we can talk about one more team, which we believe is exciting, Red Bull. Red Bull is really the exciting Formula One team at the moment, let's be clear.
Yes, who will drive with Max Verstappen?
The discussion we have is specifically around Albon. We know Verstappen is going to stay, he's here for the long run, even though that may be up for discussion. If he doesn't get to be world champion, he may need to start looking elsewhere. Doesn't look like Red Bull is going to challenge Mercedes anytime soon, but I guess this is a side discussion. Really, the point here is Albon. And Albon's performance, according to Red Bull standards, would have gotten him fired races ago. If we look at what they've done with Gasly, if we look at what they've done with Kvyat, these guys had to deliver quickly. They did not. They were demoted, moved back to AlphaTauri. And Albon is the first one where Christian Horner is like, no, we need to keep him on board. We need to give him a chance. We want stability in the team. As to why that change of heart at Red Bull, why do they want to keep Albon so bad?
Well, one main reason, he's very fast. He makes a lot of mistakes, but on paper, he's very fast and he has the speed. So this, I think this is one reason why they're still giving him a chance. They said they would give him two races in Italy, and it was his last chance this weekend. But obviously, they're going to keep him until the end of the year now, and they will take a decision at the end of the year.
So he's fast. Numbers speak a little bit differently. The average grid position is 8th for Albon, whereas it's 3rd for Verstappen with the same car. The average finish position is 2nd for Verstappen, or 2.2 to be exact, and 8th for Alexander Albon. Points, should I mention it? Verstappen 162, Albon 64. Verstappen won a race and he's 3rd in the championship, whereas Albon finished 3rd once and he's 9th in the championship.
True, Roman.
So those numbers, what do they mean? I mean, is Albon that fast?
This is the problem. He's very fast, but he makes too many mistakes. When it's not him making a mistake, people crash into him.
Hamilton, for example.
Unfortunately, this year.
Twice, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not a good thing. Albon is also very unlucky. He's always where he's not supposed to be. He's trying to overpass people on different side of the circuit. He's trying to take risks because he's under pressure, and unfortunately, it's not working at all.
Back to that point. Through the years, we saw many very fast Formula One drivers that did not get to stay in Formula One because they were lacking all of the other assets that you need in Formula One, which are consistency, able to handle the pressure, etc., etc. Albon is not there yet. So why is Red Bull keeping Albon? My theory is that Red Bull owners are Dietrich Mateschitz, which is what most people know or think they know is the owner. But what most people may not know is that Red Bull is owned at 51% by someone called Chalerm Uvidia. He's a Thai person who owns, a Thai billionaire, who owns Red Bull at 51%. It so happens that Alexander Albon is half Thai, I believe. And not only is he half Thai, he is also driving under the Thai flag. I mean, you know, it's not conspiracy theory there or anything, right? But you have a Thai driver who is not delivering race after race. Let's not forget, Gasly would have been fired already if it was him. And Kvyat would have been fired if it was him. But Albon is there, you know, to stay. Christian Horner says, no, we want to give him a chance. He needs more time to get used to the team. I think this is all balderdash, as they say in Australia. I think that he's staying because one of the owners is Thai and they want to have a Thai representative at the team. So they're giving Albon a chance. Now, obviously, this is not unlimited, right? Albon will need to start delivering. We agree on that. But I think he gets a free pass for now, in my opinion, because of that. Obviously, let's be clear. I have no proof. It's the case. It's just my opinion.
No, the theory would hold, because they're still giving him a chance until the end of the year now. So this would definitely prove your point. I think what's going to happen is exactly what you said. We will see how he performs until the end of the year. He still has like a few races to show his speed, talent, or whatever you want to call it. If he stops making mistakes and if people don't crash into him also, he will need a little bit of luck on his side. And if this doesn't happen, my theory is that Red Bull would hire Checo Perez. Clearly, I think that would make sense for the team. Also, because although Red Bull doesn't need any money, sponsorship money, this will bring a little bit of money for the team. And interestingly enough, one of the sponsors of Checo Perez, they need a very fast driver that can push Verstappen to the limit. And now that Red Bull needs to find a new engine for 2022, or I should say to develop their existing engine, I think they're going to be able on the side not to keep the Honda engine, but they're going to have to develop the engine themselves. And in order to do that, they need money. And this is the great thing about Checo Perez. Not only is he very fast and consistent, but he will also bring a big sponsor. And my theory is they will have A1 Telecom as a sponsor, which is an Austrian phone company. And interestingly enough, the owner of this company is Carlos Slim, which is main sponsor of Checo Perez. So yeah, this is my theory.
Okay.
Checo Perez will be driving for Red Bull. They will have a new sponsor, and with this money, they will be able to develop the Honda engine, which will be renamed now. We just don't know what will it be. Maybe Mugen, maybe that's a possibility.
Another point that I would like to highlight is, let's recall the relationship between Checo and Ocon. And I think at Racing Point or Force India, it was back in the days.
Yes.
If you recall, it was not the best of relationships. They crashed into each other many times.
Of course, but there's...
And we know our good friend Checo is fast, he's good, he delivers. He's not very good in quali, he's good in the race, but he can get very excited, I would say, especially with his teammate. And we saw with Ocon what he did. If you're Red Bull and you look at that history, do you want to have Verstappen, who is sort of a bit excited, I would say, he will push, and have someone like Checo who will also push and start having to handle those two big personalities at Red Bull? It would be very complicated. We remember Vettel with Ricciardo. He had a very, was it Verstappen and Ricciardo? I can't remember now. Those two that crashed into each other. Was it Ricciardo who crashed into Verstappen when he was at Red Bull?
Both of them did.
Exactly. And I don't think Christian Horner will want that. What Christian Horner wants, it's exactly what Toto wants, what any team wants.
Very fast number two.
Is a good, fast, but easy to handle number two. And I don't think that Checo is that guy.
Okay, then that would mean that Hülkenberg will sign at Red Bull then. That will be a much easier pilot to handle by the team owner. By the owner of the team and also the team principal. So we will see.
Thank you, Harry. It was nice to have that discussion with you today.
Thank you, Romain.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to us, and we'll catch you in the next one.